What's up, Black Men Catch Up comic book fans? James III here to talk to you about my comic series, Junior, available now on Kickstarter. The Ghost with the Most Past Due Child Support is back in four brand new issues of this semi-autobiographical supernatural comic series. It's got all sorts of spooky hijinks for fans of Beetlejuice, The Good Place, and The Mummy, stuff like that, and features award-winning artists from Marvel, DC, Dark Horse, and more. It's available on Kickstarter through June 9th. Go to ruleof3inc.com or follow me at ruleof3inc on IG for more details. Donate today!
At Kroger, we know the minute a tomato is picked off the vine, the fresh timer starts. The sooner we get our produce to you, the fresher it is. That's why we've completely overhauled our process to shorten the time from harvest to home for our tomatoes, strawberries, and salads. Because we know how much you love fresh produce, we give you more time to enjoy your tasty fruits and veggies at home. So whether you're shopping in-store, picking up, or prefer delivery, we're committed to bringing you the freshest produce possible. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Forever Dog.
I said, here's the thing. I feel like I didn't learn U.S. history correctly.
Oh, absolutely.
First of all, the way that they teach it, not great. Not great. It should be more exciting. I feel like history is more exciting than it is when it's taught in school. I like watching documentaries.
It's the reason it's not as exciting in school is because in school it's like rate if someone knows history, and it's if they know names and dates. And so so history is a memorization. Yeah.
Yeah, it's just all memorization. And it's memorization of like things you don't care about.
Yeah, and also so tricky because like, you know, we learn the history from like the victors, so the history is so skewed anyway. So,
right.
I don't know, man. I feel like I was learning about stuff like in American history in high school. And my teacher was like a woke white woman. So she was like, I'm going to tell y'all the truth about what's going down. But I also went to like a private school. So there's no way you could do that in public school. Just be like, listen, what did DeSantis say? Slaves were voluntarily displaced or something like that? Did y'all hear that term?
Why are you bringing this up?
Are we talking about why history, James?
Today?
Did they at least say involuntarily displaced?
Maybe it was like, no. I don't even know if it was, it almost sounded like, hold on, wait, I got to find
is
it.
Is this the crossover with slavery is a choice, or was that Kanye West?
That Kanye said that. This is the racist white man. This is the racist white man. It was like okay. I don't want little white kids hearing that their ancestors were slave owners. And I was like,
right. Yes.
I was like, what you mean? What you mean?
They don't want them to hear it?
Bruh, yeah. What? They don't want to hear it? I was like, bruh, we talk about like, look, man, I just hung out with my relatives and one of my uncles, and forgive me, I'm not sure if he was in the Navy or the Air Force, but he was.
What an egregious statement.
Because he was a pilot, but I'm not sure because his job, like he was one of the people who weren't necessarily flying the planes, but he was the one like jumping out, but he was still in the air.
It's probably in the Air Force. Yeah.
See, that's what I thought. But then watching the movie, I get confused of like what's considered Air Force and what's considered Navy.
Well, the Navy pilots are launching off of battleships. And they have to land the planes on the battleships. And typically those are bomber planes and not
fighter planes.
They're not going to be the planes.
Why is that? Or is it because they trying to keep the bombs in the ocean? You know what I mean? Like for storage? Is that a storage issue? Yeah. It's like, is that the reason that that's where that's designated to? I'm just trying to, why is that the designation?
No, it's because we can have ships, because international waters, you can be anywhere in the water, you know, just off the coast of a lot of different places, any place we want to bomb.
Okay. And
you know, as opposed to having an airfield in like another country.
Right. Right.
You know. Yeah. Mm. So it's like, so we can launch bomber planes from different parts of the world with the battleships, especially when
it feels seemingly like a storage thing, just like a little bit.
It is kind of a storage thing, I guess.
No, Bray. It's like, Bray, it's not storage. Not
like, it's more about you know, how quickly they can get the bomb to the place they want to drop it.
Right.
He's
not. Right. That's not storage.
I mean, it's a little less, you know, like now they have like, you know, ballistic missile, like, you know, intercontinental
missiles
that we can launch from any, we can hit, right, we can pretty much hit anywhere in the globe from the US.
That's insane. That's insane.
Yeah. The thing is, like, the Korean War, I definitely didn't learn about. We learned so much about World War II, and like we learned like all these battles and the names of, and I forgot a lot of it, but like we learned all these general names and like the names of like different battles and like how many people died at battles. Like it was like, it's insane, like the level of detail we learned about World War II, and then they were like, Korean War, Vietnam War, we're not talking about it at all.
Or that's because we were the bad guys, right? Isn't that the thing? Like, we were like the bad guys in the other war. So they're like, yeah, we didn't save the day in this one.
Yeah, we were trying to stop communism. A little different than trying to stop terrorism, but still trying to stop a noun.
Yeah.
Yes.
Man.
It's pretty hard to be the good guys when you're committed to such an evil cause with such devotion.
Honestly, Bray, I was trying to stop talking to see how long it's going to take you to get to that, because this is a tough one today. This was a tough one. You know, it was a tough one, but you did it. You got there. You did it.
I just also generally agree with the statement. So.
Yeah, no, right. Yeah. James. I was just talking about this, you know, because in history class, you learn that the U.S. is the good guys, but it's like, are we the good guys? Or are we,
you don't
just
have to do it again, though.
Praying to ourselves with devotion.
Thank you for doing that. But you know,
praying to ourselves with devotion.
James, let's not break this down. We should just start. We could just start the show.
Okay. You know what I mean? I just don't know.
Yeah, if we could try. I think actually it's better to start the show, because this bit is dead, and you know I'm not doing the bit anymore. So it's better to just start the show right now. Let's just do that. Let's be committed to that.
All right. So you're not going to. You're not trying to like squeeze the word in one more time. You're like, you're good.
No. All right. I have a commitment to start the show right now.
I have lost all adoration for
this bit.
Okay, great.
Okay.
Okay, cool.
All right.
Okay,
so but Melissa adoration, just start the show. I just feel like the use James, of that
nope,
term.
Nope, James. Melissa, please start the show.
Like, I'm studying up on the facts. Okay.
God damn it. We're just never like, starting.
Yeah. All right. Let's do it.
So you're good for us to start the show.
I'm good for us to start the show. Did you guys ever do Bible devotions? All right. Let's start the show.
Jonathan Braylock, James III, Drum Milligan. What more can I say? You know what it is? Black men can jump.
Black actors, man. Welcome to Black Men Can't Jump in Hollywood.
Hollywood City.
Bama. I married her.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
All right, that's
the line that got me this time. That one, that's the line that got me.
It
did. It was a brief moment of deep joy that he was experiencing. I was like, I felt that.
James, sometimes, James, you're like, I can't pin you down, James. I can't, right. I can't tell what's gonna tickle you. I can't tell what's gonna make you mad. Like, I just have no grasp. Of what's gonna come, I have no idea.
Well, just for me, it was something about it. It was his energy was very different on that line than any other line in the entire movie, and I was like, that sticks out.
Yeah,
and okay. It did.
I hear that. For those of you who are listening for the first time, this is a film review podcast. We review the films of leading Black actors. Okay,
tell them, Bray,
in the context of race. And diversity.
Did you forget for a second?
I did a little bit. We discuss it within the context of race and diversity in Hollywood. All right?
Yeah.
Three of us host this show. The voice that you are listening to now that sounds like a committed Navy pilot.
You sound like you host a game show.
A lieutenant.
You sound like the announcer from a game show. From the 70s.
What does he say? Lieutenant Corporal. What is it?
No, yeah. Brayden, no one's helping you with this. No, James, no, no, he got it.
No, that moment, Lieutenant Commander. He was like,
Lieutenant Commander.
I'm like, oh shit, okay.
put some respect on it.
Oh man,
that voice is Jonathan Braylock.
This voice, it just sounds like he's just trying to get through the day, you know, and just survive. Is that of Gerard Milligan?
And this voice James the Third.
Oh, I actually think a cartoon just ran into the studio. Hold on.
Wow. Woo! Wow.
All right. Hey, get out of here.
Scram. Sounds like Woody Woodpecker came in this thing. All right, yeah, stop this.
For those of you who are listening for the first time, welcome. Today, we are reviewing the film Devotion. It came out in 2022. It is a war film that stars our good man, Jonathan Majors. I don't know why he's our good man, but I mean, he's been a lot of stuff.
I feel like we've been rocking with him since like before he was famous.
Since
so,
day
you know.
What? Since day what?
Yeah, that's true.
Also, Christina Jackson.
Yeah, since day one, yeah. Yeah, that's pretty true.
And Glenn Powell from Top Gun Maverick, who's playing
Hangman.
Pilot. Oh, I didn't see him in that.
A Navy pilot. Did you not see Maverick?
Hey, man.
No, I haven't seen it yet. It's good, right? Everybody loved
it. I saw it in theaters. You know what it was? It was just
top grossing movie of last year.
Yeah. Well, right. they said Avatar beat it out in the last minute. Yeah, I was like, that's fucked up. I was like,
how did it do that in two weeks?
Dog, they said, like, and it was sucky because when I saw the report, I was like, ugh.
But that has to be worldwide only, though. That has to
be
worldwide
only.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Top Gun Maverick is one of the top grossing movies of all time, and so is Avatar 2, which is, it's infuriating that Avatar 1 and 2 both, you know what I mean? It's
so disgusting how much money this movie makes internationally. Oh my God. It's made $1.2 billion internationally already.
The blue people, that'll do it.
But it's only made 517 domestic, but that's just
have y'all seen it yet?
Because we seen Pocahontas, I know that story already. I don't need to see the sequel.
Is this one Pocahontas?
I don't know, but I know Pocahontas had a sequel, and I ain't trying to see it. I ain't watch it. Did y'all see that cartoon? Honestly, it sucks because I really do like James Cameron a lot. Like I think him and Steven Spielberg, and we will get into Devotion, but I think they are really good at making blockbusters with an emotional core with their characters. Like when I was a little kid, Arnold Schwarzenegger with the thumbs up in Terminator 2 as he was like going in the fire pit, I legitimately was sobbing. It's like they do that very well. I just haven't seen this one. I heard it's beautiful. I just haven't been to the movie theater. That's all. I just haven't seen it.
I don't want to. I will publicly say that I don't want to see it, but I just everything that I've heard is telling me like it's going to blow your mind. But I don't want to see it. It took 1,000 years to see, and I wasn't super hot on the first one, and that's where I'm at. Just to publicly say that's how I feel about Avatar.
I respect that. We'll see you in Avatar 3 as a blue person.
Haven't seen it.
I do think I'll watch it and enjoy it, but I don't want to, you know? Yeah. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I don't really either, to be honest.
Makes sense.
Not great. Avatar 2 is currently number 7 all time.
Damn.
Worldwide, that is.
It hasn't been out for worldwide. A month. How Devotion doing theaters?
It's definitely going to pass up Spider-Man No Way Home, which is number 6.
Damn, that's tough. I like that movie.
And then it'll probably pass up Infinity War as well. I don't know if it'll, it's definitely not going to, it's never going to get to the first one. And I don't think it's going to touch Endgame. And I don't know if it'll pass Titanic either, but we'll see. We'll see if it beats out Star Wars Episode 7, which is number 4. And Infinity War is number 5. Guys, Devotion made $21 million at the box office. I guess it's still in the box office, but, you know, it's not really making.
What was it, like a month or like a couple of weeks? How long was it just in theaters?
It came out November 23rd. It's been out for a little over a month. It's already on streaming, which is how we watched it. It's on Paramount Plus. So, you know, it's probably not going to make that much more money. Let's see. Wikipedia says it cost $90 million to make.
I mean, it looked good. It looked good. Like,
million. It did look really good. It looked great. if I'm being honest.
That's not good. I don't think this is a bad box office.
Why would you spend $90 million on this particular movie my question.
If this was, I will say, if it was, you know, war films tend to do all right sometimes. If this is pushed as like a end of the year, like war film that everyone needs to see, it could have done well. I don't think it quite got there. I mean, the Rotten Tomatoes scores aren't bad. It's 81% on Rotten Tomatoes, 92% audience score. But I feel like it didn't have one. The reason they keep making movies about World War II is because audiences want to see movies about World War II because we're primed to see them because that's the only war we talk about. Exactly. We were barely in World War I, so that's why we don't see those movies as much. We were the bad guys in the other wars like this.
My thing about World War II is we dropped those bombs.
What? James, yeah. James, we saved James, we saved the day. James, we saved the day, James.
Saved the day, James.
Let me go make me a bunker.
One day the earth just gonna blow up.
Bro, let me get out.
Yeah, but until then, you'll have this podcast talking about movies like Devotion. Shall we get into initial thoughts? Black Men Can't Jump in Hollywood is sponsored by BetterHelp. Guys, I just had a job end, which, you know, I was very fortunate to have. But it's so funny how quickly stress starts to accumulate when you're not working.
It's too much. It's too much. It's heavy.
You know?
I got the shakes and, you know, the heart palpitations, all of it.
I agree. I will say I've had the benefit of not being unemployed this long since 2009. And what are we in April? Soon to be May. And I have not had a paycheck all of 2024. So this is the most stress I've ever had. My parents may need to get an aide. And I'm like, who's coming to save the day? So stress is high. Anxiety is high.
And, you know, sometimes to talk about this stress, therapy can be a safe space. Like, get that stuff off your chest, figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down, you know, instead of just keeping it all bottled up and feeling like you have to hold everything inside. I know therapy has helped me. I almost look at it as like check-in. Like, sometimes I got a lot to say, sometimes not so much, but it's like, it is super, super helpful.
Yeah, I appreciate getting the tools to like kind of understand the mechanism of how I'm behaving, you know, and reacting in certain situations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I use BetterHelp, and Timothy, black male therapist, saves the day because he gets it, man. I'm like, you know what? Thank you, bro. For sometimes it's just 30 minutes of just me rambling, and I'm like, oh, you didn't even say hello yet. and he's like, keep going. I'm like, thank you. Yes.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient and flexible. It's suited to your schedule, which is absolutely essential these days. All you got to do is fill out a brief questionnaire and you can get matched with a licensed therapist. And if you want, switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/jump today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/jump.
You gotta jump to get that BetterHelp. BetterHelp!
Priceline presents Go to Your Happy Price. What's up? It's Kaylee Cuoco. When it comes to travel, we all have a happy place. You can see yourself already there. It's beautiful. It might be sunny and sandy for some, neon and urban for others, deserts or rainforests or hiking trails. With Priceline, you can get to your happy place for a happy price with deals you really can't find anywhere else, like up to 60% off select hotels to Costa Rica or 5-star hotels for 2-star prices in Cabo. Go to Priceline.com and travel to your happy place for a happy price. All right, see ya. I'm off to Miami. No, actually, wow, look at that. No, I'm going to Hawaii now. Ooh, Cancun looks nice. You know what? Belize looks pretty nice this time of year. Or, Palm Springs.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
So you open Google Chrome on your phone, you're hunting for a super rare first edition vinyl of a band you're obsessed with when you're supposed to be working. But this site you tapped on seems pretty shady. And Daryl from IT just jumped up from his desk. Oh no, he's coming your way. It's a good thing built-in malware protection keeps you safe and sound. Not from Daryl though, sorry. There's no place like Chrome. Download Google Chrome on your phone.
I'll go first. I historically am not a war movie fan. You know, anyone who has listened to this podcast ever knows that, you know, these are not for me. And the reason they're not for me is I don't like seeing real people die. I'll love an X-Wing getting shot down and I'll be like, oh, I feel sad for that person that was in the X-Wing. But in these movies, when that happens, you go, that was a real person. And then you have to like sit and deal with that for however long the rest of the movie is. So when I saw the trailer, I was like surprised that there are like these moments of levity that they choose to highlight in the trailer. And I wasn't quite sure what we were getting into. I had a good time watching this movie. I thought the movie looked like Gerard said, looked beautiful. I really enjoyed the acting in it. And I found the storytelling moving. There were parts when, and I like J.D. Dillard. I think we've reviewed one of his movies on here already. And I thought he did a good job with this. There were times towards the end when I was frustrated that we weren't focusing on Jonathan Majors and we were instead focusing on Glenn Powell. And we'll talk about them more specifically when we get there. But then when I realized later when they were showing like the end credits that like, oh yeah, like his family's still alive and perhaps they thought it would be insensitive to kind of show some of those moments.
And this is based on a book, we should say.
Oh, and it's based on a book. Okay, so there's that too. But that was, if anything, you know, that's one of my biggest criticisms of it. This movie talks about race and this man's experience with race kind of had, not kind of head on in a way that is uncomfortable and does at times feel like I don't want to see that. But as this is someone's real experience, it's like, it's hard for me to like note that or, you know, but it is tough. It was tough to live in some of that stuff, I thought. But yeah, but in general, like, beautiful movie, well acted. The action sequences were exciting. Like, I remember the feeling of like, oh, what are they going to do at the halfway point? Because it's kind of slow in the beginning. And then we're right at the halfway point. We are deep in war in a way that's like, it's like, well, here we are. We're in war, you know. And that was, I don't know. I liked that sequence. And, you know, so that's it. I'll talk about it more specifically as we get into the nitty-gritty.
I famously do like war movies, most of them. I don't know why. I think the reason I like them is because of how, I guess, the stakes are at an all-time high. And there is a certain camaraderie. I don't know. It's like, it's showing like what the human experience is pushed to the brink. But it also, every time I watch a war movie, I'm like, why do we ever go to war? This is horrible. And the reality is there's like rarely ever like some sort of dictator trying to take over the world. We keep playing World War II like it's the only war that's been fought, and it's not per this movie. I feel like this movie it's not very flashy. It's kind of a muted story. There is some really great acting in it. I did like the direction for the most part. I feel like the source material lends itself to a slower paced film, and you know, the like climaxes of this movie are like good, but not like, not as epic as some war movies tend to be, which is fine. I think like, the thing that's tough about this movie is like, in a weird way, like what this story is like real, if it's not just going to be a complete profile of like one person, which I don't think this movie was trying to be, it is ultimately just a story about this friendship between a black man and a white man. And I think that both the director, I'm sure maybe the screenwriter, and maybe even all the producers involved with this film, like, didn't want this movie to be Green Book. And they like, and like at times it was, they were pretty like blatant about it, of like almost to the end of like kind of almost like even like literally saying like, you don't need to be a savior, like multiple times, like you don't need to be a white savior, which is great. That's, I'm cool with that. That said, I think like, I feel like the development of the friendship suffered a little bit, you know, and it wasn't as focused on, like there were good scenes, but like some, like a good amount of the movie is also just like, here are all these pilots like getting ready to do this mission, you know, to do these different missions. And therefore, I don't know, I the end didn't hit me as much as maybe I wanted it to. I think it's like, it was a good movie. I feel like, who really stood out to me? This actor who is from Newsroom. I forgot his name.
Oh, the main dude? Like the, what was?
The lieutenant commander. He was really good. Like the way that he just made his character. And like, I felt like this is probably not like, or maybe it was a real person, who knows? But like, it felt like the screenwriter's way of like getting some of like, a little bit of modern sensibilities out through this person, but like just the ways in which he's like, you know, like Korea, like if we don't intervene, like communism will spread, so says our country, you know, like things like that. Like, he like just like gives these little quips that be like, whatever, we're just here to do our job. Like, I don't know if I believe in all this rah-rah stuff, but like, that's what we are. Like, the most important thing is getting our people home, like all this stuff. I really liked him, and he, I feel like, really provided a glue for the movie in this way that was really nice. But yeah, at the end of the day, though, I don't know. There was nothing spectacular about the movie, and like nothing that really stood out in this way. That, so I was like, while I didn't hate it, I didn't love it either.
I get that.
I just want to say, just echo something that you said, Bray, which was, there was a thought where I felt like, oh, this is a little Green Book-y. And then the movie immediately told me it wasn't Green Book.
Yeah. They were like, no, it's not that. It's not that.
Yeah. It's so funny. Everybody had that thought, because midway watching this movie, I was like, is this an updated Green Book, or does it not want to be Green Book and is fighting against it? I was like, it was like, it had a lot of Green Book tendencies, but like, no, we're not doing it. But I'm like, but you kind of so close. Like, you're so close to Green Book-y. I'm not going to lie, man. Look, it's tough because this director is like a 35-year-old black kid. Like, he's done, like, the fact that he got this movie, I think, is like so great. You know, he did Slight, which we reviewed, and I think we all liked.
Slight was, I couldn't remember which one we watched.
And then I do think the movie looks beautiful. Like, I do think the story is kind of paint by numbers. Like, I had to look it up. I was like, this movie starts and ends with Glenn Powell's character, but I also noticed that Glenn Powell produced it. I don't know if that matters. And I'm literally right now looking up, I'm seeing an article on like the real story behind this, just the info on Jesse to feel more about it. But like, it's hard because even looking at this photo of Jesse that they end up taking, like, I think in the movie, you know, you see them taking in front of, for the Negro magazine or something like that.
Time, it's for Time.
Oh, it's for Time magazine?
Time, yeah. Time shows up and they just start taking pictures of this guy. And they keep trying to get him, you know, to tell the story of like the lone black pilot. And he's like, I'm not, you know, a naval aviator. And he's like, I'm not going to do that. I want to fly. I'm here to fly.
Yeah, and it's something interesting because it's like sometimes I'm trying to read more about the real man, because the way he was played in the movie was so stoic and like, sometimes when I see like black men, I feel like people portray black men as like we're extremes, where I'm like, they almost feel like devoid of emotion until it's like sadness, and they have no other, like, it's like we're strong, we always gotta be strong, and then there's like sadness. And I understand this guy was it the 50s? So I get it. It was just, so I get it.
1950 was the movie.
Oh, 1950. Oh, great. Yeah, 50. So it's like, I don't know. I just feel like there's levels, and I feel like we saw like one of him. It's hard because like, I thought like Jonathan Majors is, I really think is like going to be a legendary actor because he's so good. I do enjoy Glenn Powell. He was fun in Top Gun, but the movie was weird to me that it started with him and ended with him. I didn't necessarily like have fun. Like I am very curious because I don't remember the movie and I just watched it today.
I will say, I feel like, to your point about the character, I both think, and I have no idea, but my instinct is, I both think that he probably played that character like very accurately of like how this guy was in real life, and also tough for a movie. You know what I mean? Like tough to have that kind of person in a movie, because we get it, but it's like, it's hard for that to carry you through 2 hours. I mean, we got like, so
that's also why like Bama, I Married Her stood out to me, because it was this one moment of him like being genuinely joyous and talking to like an old friend. So much, there was a whole lot underneath that iceberg, you know, of that line that was really nice. But it's like, that's the only moment like that, you know?
I mean, I think the thing about the movie that I think was maybe the most important line, and again, we have a lot of servicemen in my family, and now getting to know them, I'm now as a grown man seeing and hearing them. Like my uncle is 72 and now can openly talk about like the PTSD he had or has. And like, you kind of can see like when sounds and certain things happen and like, you know, that kind of stuff comes up. And it's something someone says in the movie about the forgotten soldiers. Like there's always a war, and the people who fight the war, oftentimes like people forget because it's already a new war. And it's something about that kind of like summary that I don't know if I wanted the movie to lean into more. It's hard because I don't think the directing or the acting is the issue. I feel like the script needed something. Hopefully in this podcast, I'd be able to like figure out what it is, but it was like something, because like the director clearly was good. The actors clearly were good. The cinematographer was great, but just something needed to make it more exciting. And especially after coming off to, also I've seen Top Gun like twice now, and like now seeing Top Gun, I'm like, fuck. Cause you know, again, I know they had a different budget, but like seeing these aerial things and seeing actors' face, you know, is like, it's just tough.
Also different kinds of planes too, like what you're gonna be doing in those planes versus what you're gonna do in these like 1950 planes that like one of the pilots' things is, it's hard to even see when you pilot it, you know, it's going to look different than that. But yeah, I know what you mean.
So this movie, I mean, technically, I guess this movie starts with Jonathan Majors in that he's like wiping a plane. And then we actually see like Glenn's character, Lieutenant Tom Hudner. So we see Hudner. Yeah, he's like coming in. They're in Rhode Island. They're at a Navy base, I guess, Navy Air Base in Rhode Island. He comes in into the locker room and he hears somebody talking to themselves, and the person's saying like, "You ain't shit," you know, like just bad mouthing himself. He's like, "What the heck?" And Jesse Brown comes out and kind of plays it off. And so that starts like this thing of, we see like he reveals that later on what he was doing, which is just saying all the bad things that people have ever said to him in his life. And he just says that to himself in the mirror.
He wrote them down in a book and he said, "It helps." I was like, man, this guy.
There's no way this helps.
Yes. Like what? Like his trauma response was so, it's like, it's so the other way, you know, like if only this guy could have had somebody, you know, helping, talking to him through this, because my goodness.
Yeah, it's brutal. But yeah, it's like very quickly we get into the people like introducing the different pilots that are here, and they're all white. He's the only black one, and he's an ensign. It feels like everybody's lieutenant, right? And he's an ensign.
He was the first African-American pilot in the U.S. Navy history. In U.S. Navy history. All right, brother. All right.
Hi, this is Will Arnett. We are inviting you to follow us as we go on tour and we take our podcast Smartless on the road. Join us and watch any boundaries we previously had disappear. Like you've never seen us before, you'll see us on the road, ordering lunch, roasting each other, and on stage as we surprise each other with a mystery celebrity guest in each city. Boy, that sounds amazing.
Welcome to Smartland!
Don't miss our new series, Smartless on the Road, streaming May 23rd, only on Max. Subscription required.
At Kroger, we know the minute a tomato is picked off the vine, the fresh timer starts.
The sooner we get our produce to you, the fresher it is. That's why we've completely overhauled our process to shorten the time from harvest to home for our tomatoes, strawberries, and salads. Because we know how much you love fresh produce, we give you more time to enjoy your tasty fruits and veggies at home. So whether you're shopping in-store, picking up, or prefer delivery, we're committed to bringing you the freshest produce possible. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Oh yeah, wow. Ensign is like a second lieutenant. Like not which I guess is not
it's lieutenant. Lower, right?
Yeah, it's entry level.
Here's the thing that's interesting about this movie is that this movie doesn't start where I guess a lot of these films maybe would start, which is him making it into the Navy, like as a pilot. Like he tells us this stuff later on, like this stuff about like they didn't think he could swim, so they made him swim like over and over again, and they like put like rocks in his suits, and they like try to then like push him under and like try to drown him, but he made it. And I couldn't help but think, like, shouldn't we have seen this? Like, isn't that,
or flashbacks to it?
I had the same thought, and I wasn't sure. You know, I was like, Is it better for us to get the performance of like of him explaining this, or and I couldn't decide. But if y'all felt that, then I think we should have. It's the same thing like that I was feeling later. I think equivalent to what I was feeling later of them like not sticking with Jonathan Majors during some of those ending moments. It's like, don't we want to build up this character a little bit more? But I don't know. It feels like in thinking about that, like not seeing that and thinking about not seeing some of the stuff we see later, it feels like out of respect for the family, you know, we don't show these kind of darker, kind of more traumatic moments.
It's so tricky because I while watching the movie, kind of had the thought like, oh, we should see that stuff. But I'm like, man, this is a black man in the 50s. Do we need to see this again? And it's hard because by the time we see him, like, you know, his white comrades aren't like, hey, fellow comrade. Like, he's still black, but they're like so much nicer to him. And then I'm reading about him right now and the fact that, like, he used to be a prankster and was a well dancer and funny. But then you hear about kind of what happened to him in college, and it's a black man living in the 40s who's smart. And I'm like, this would have been another kind of like traumatic story. Like, he had, I mean, stuff with cops, like some of the names, I guess, that he says in the movie, people called him and called him worse. So I think it may have been a decision to be like, we can't show this type of pain.
Yes. So this is the interesting thing that maybe this movie is a good like way to talk about, because I know it's interesting because I feel like, Jarrell, like when you were hearing that we were going to do this film, you were like, I don't know, because it's like, oh, another movie about a black man facing racism. And then watching this film, I was like, yes, that's, that element is there, but like they really didn't focus in on it that much. And so there's not a lot of like there's not a lot of those moments. Like he talks about them, and there's like a little bit, like there's one guy in particular who's like the racist guy, you know.
And the biggest way we see it repeated in the movie is his own words to himself in the mirror. Like, we don't see it from other people. We see that he carried it with him anyway. And so we see it in these other ways.
But like his lieutenant, like his superior officer clearly has respect for him. The other guys seem to, for the most part, pretty much have respect for him, especially the other pilots. Like this guy who's his friend does, and like he calls his friend out a few times about stuff, which we'll get to. But like it wasn't heavy-handed. And at the same time, I was like, there was a part, maybe this is too, maybe I shouldn't say this. Anyway, there was a part of me that was like, why do a film about this person if you don't want to show that stuff?
Yeah, I was going to say the same thing. Like it's not so much now. There are certainly other elements of this person's life that you can highlight, which they chose to do. But I feel like the conversation around what we're showing on screen, I think has more to do with like, or I would rather it have more to do with the stories that are being told rather than in this case, neutering a story. Like we feel like by the end of it, we sort of feel like, oh, why didn't we see his experiences? We had to see him talk about his experiences, but we don't get to see as a viewer, we don't like go on that journey in that same way. We meet him at this very specific point in his journey. And so we don't see him, we don't see the levels because we've met him at this point. And so it can feel detrimental. Now, granted, I don't know. I wasn't sure if I wanted to see it or not. And then after the fact, I feel like I understand why we didn't see some of this stuff. But in my general feeling about this is like, I feel like it should, it's like if you're telling a story that has that in it, I think it should come down to creatives, whether or not they want to do that. And they can if they choose to. And I think that in some cases, you know, we're going on a bigger journey if we witness it, if we experience it, if we're there, you know, and then in general, tell more stories. That's how I feel about it. That's how I feel about specifically that.
I mean, it's so tricky. I'm reading about him now. And like, this story is traumatic. It's like, this is rough. I mean, the stuff he says, like when he says it in the mirror, I'm still trying to see if he did that. But a lot of those were things that people said like constantly nonstop to him. Apparently, the black people on the ships did not gravitate towards him, or at least not until much later. Like apparently he would, because apparently he was stoic, but a very jovial guy. And like they said, he would have breakdowns when he would come back home saying like, I ain't got nobody I can laugh with or even talk to.
Well, he also wouldn't, right? Even if the other black people on the ship, you know, we see them give him a watch later, you know, but they are not going to hang out, you know, they can't. They're different designations. They, you know, have different shit to do, so they're not even gonna interact. You know, he is alone in this sense.
Yeah, but it also says like they weren't accepting of him. It's one of those things where like, I don't know how you do this movie successfully, because I think I'm kind of now leaning towards Bray, but also leaning towards a movie that I'm not fond of, which is like showing that pain. But it's like, if you're going to do it, you got to do it. You know what I mean? And I think it's tough because I think we live in a world where, you know, of course, this probably... people wanted this to be an Oscar play and, you know, things of that nature. And in order for a black person to kind of get that or get those movies, it's probably going to be a period piece about us fighting racism. But I think the younger generation knows we got to do something different than that. And I think we're still figuring out how to tell those stories without being a Green Book, which is one of the worst movies ever made. Green Book is clearly one of the worst movies. In case people forgot how bad Green Book was. But then, you know, but then it's like, yeah, do you like Atil, which is like, is very well acted, but so fucking traumatic. It's like, I don't know what we do. I don't know how to do this.
So Till was still very, I still never saw it. So Till still was very traumatic, even though they were like, we're not going to show any of the.
They say they weren't, but the thing is, and Bray, you let me know your thought. It's like, I mean, that story is very famous.
They didn't show the actual murder, but you hear they showed it. The body.
But you hear it though. So it's like,
ooh, you hear it. And they still show the body at like the open casket.
No, Bray, remember, it's like, cause you hear, like, we don't see what happens to him, but you hear him like screaming and you like, yeah. And then you see the body repeatedly. And I'm like, I know y'all said y'all wasn't going to show this, but like y'all low key did it, but also you couldn't get away from it. Cause that's what the movie, you know what I'm saying? So it's.
Yeah. I understand that the choice to show the body, because that's the whole thing. That was the whole thing, you know, like his mom was like, show the body, you know? And so like, I get that, But then like, but they were like, we're not going to show it, but then played the sounds. It's like, well, what are you, what's that about?
I mean, why it's still such a hard, it's a thing where, because like a lot of Oscar type films gravitate towards the past and like want to retell like stories from the past. And because like US history is just filled with blatant racism, it's so hard to tell Black stories without showing racism. Like it's either fake or you downplay it in a way that doesn't quite feel right, or you really lean into it in a way that also is like, I don't know if I want to see this. So it's really tough. Like I was watching this movie and I was like, you know, and this guy, like, he is, like, the reason we're doing a story, the reason a movie was made about him, the reason there was a book about him is because he was the first, you know what I mean? He was the first Black pilot. And what does that mean? And if you are the first Black anything, that means you faced a hell of a lot of racism getting to that place, because you were breaking down racial barriers. And there are a bunch of people who didn't want to see that, because it's like, that's the whole thing. So it's like, you can't really tell a story about the first Black anybody without touching on that. And I guess like the only real way to try and do it, and I guess this movie was trying to do it while also still being a war film, was like, is like, hey, like, let's really try to lean into this guy's personal life. But then this guy, it was like, so the movie, we haven't really talked about like the scenes of the movie, but like, it's pretty simple. Like, it's like, we're at this naval base with these pilots. We see him go home to his wife and a daughter, and the marriage seems to be great. There are no problems within the marriage outside of, I guess, him having to leave to go to war. And so there's no conflict there. You know what I mean? Like, there's no conflict at home for us to talk about. There's an internal conflict that's happening, but he's not processing that with anyone, and therefore we can't process it as an audience with him, because it's not a book, it's a movie. Then there's this friendship that's being built, but it's like so slow. And the movie to me was so much trying to not be Green Book, you know, that it was like, let's not, they're like, let's not lean into this friendship too much, because we don't want this to just be about like a Black man and a white man get along. And it's like, why can't we all get along kind of thing? So those conversations are few and far between. Like the first,
but Bray, that sucks. Because like, I'm reading about them right now. They were friends. Like the thing is, I'm reading this. They were legitimately friends. So like, even the stuff at the end and like them hanging out, like apparently all that stuff was real. And I feel like it's tricky because we've seen so many of these manufactured movies and stories that when we finally had a true one, like a true friendship, not even like a, oh, you Black, I gotta understand you a good man. They were friends from the get-go. You know what I mean? And it's like, we had it. But because Green Book, which is one of the worst movies ever made by Hollywood, happened, they were like, we can't do that again, because this manufactured movie, Green Book, which again is one of the worst movies ever made in Hollywood, but it lied about a friendship between a white man and a Black man, which is a lie.
Or embellished.
No, Bray. They lied, okay? Because it's the Black man's family said, this is a lie. He did not want any parts of this movie when he was alive. And then a group of white men, Braylock, was like, we going to make the movie now that he's dead.
Yeah, the son of the driver.
Who knew Braylock? This is my thing, Bray. Could you imagine? Imagine, Bray. We're rich. We're famous. Like, you know, you're getting older. Someone's like, hey, remember when you used to work with like Tito, and you're like, nah, man, me and Tito wasn't cool like that. We just had to deal with each other. They're like, hey, I want to make a movie about the friendship between you and Tito. And you're like, hey, nah, we weren't friends. Then you pass away, and then the kids you've told repeatedly, you've told your family, you've told James, you've told me, I don't rock with this nigga, and he makes a movie? Come on, man. That is a lie, damn it. That is a lie. And I'm saying this movie sucks. Devotion, I feel like, took the brunt of this fact. Bro, I'm looking at it right now. Like, all that stuff, the little things with the hat, the scarf, like, apparently all that is real, and we missed it. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, not missed it, but like...
Well, about this then? Like, I mean, because it feels like... It also just sort of feels like, in general, a lot of what is happening on screen is, like, boiled down to, like, it does still boil down to like black versus white. Like, oh, when this happens to me, X, Y, and Z is going to happen. But when it happens to you, X, Y, and Z is going to happen. Like there were a lot of those conversations, which I mean, I think of course that's probably going to come up in the ways that it does come up given the timing and the situation. But it's like, but Green Book, their friendship was like try fried chicken, you know, like it was like these things that like that just feel fake and weird. Whereas like, I don't know, like they could have infused the friendship without it becoming Green Booky. You know, the like the more
I think that's true. I think that's true.
That's true. Yeah.
Hey, this is Tim Heidecker, and I'm glad to be back in Glendale, California, in the studio with my good friends DJ Doug Pound and Vic Berger for another episode of our podcast, Office Hours Live. This week we had a very special guest, Hiss Golden Messenger, who played a beautiful tune for us. We laughed, we had fun, and you should tune in to Office Hours Live this week. Quite frankly, every week on your podcast app of choice or at youtube.com/officehourslive.
For me, what was hard was not understanding where, like, how the friendship developed, because it seemed like, so like he gets assigned to be this guy's wingman, right? So they're kind of assigned to fly together. They do this thing where he flies, you know, he's like, hey, we're going on a little detour. And they go like close to the water, and he's like flying super close to these like boats and like houses and things like that and the lighthouse. And like, you know, later on, he's like, what were you doing? Like, what can you like not try to get us killed during just like a routine, like, you know, whatever scouting mission or whatever it was called. And he's like, no, I'm trying to find out about you. Like, you know, a lot, you learn a lot more about somebody, you know, when things aren't going according to plan and this and that. So it was like, that was like an interesting thing. But then like, it felt like the white guy was trying to be the black guy. It felt like, you know, like Hudner was trying to be Jesse Brown's friend. And Jesse Brown was like, whatever. You know what I mean? Like, I don't really care. Like, you're just somebody I work with, you know? And then he like does bring him over to his house. And like, that's supposed to be a big deal, which I get. But like, I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't see the moment where it felt like, man, these two are really good friends.
Because you know what it would have been, Bray? And I think it would have been very interesting, because it midway through, when I was like, oh, this is about to be another Green Book, then I was like, oh no, it's going to be like reverse Green Book, where like the black guy who's been in the squadron, there's a new white boy, he doesn't trust the white boy. And now all of a sudden, like now the white boy has to prove that like he's trustworthy. And like, then they become friends. But I thought it was going to be more like, because you're right, we didn't get the montages of like, oh man. And I guess they probably would have had to embellish something. And from what I'm reading, this is pretty true to the story. But like, you would have had to have a moment of the white guy like really helping Jesse out. And it's like, okay, you all cool. But like, we didn't get any of those moments. He just, literally, it goes from, hey, do you want a beer? And he's like, I'm pretty sure he has other things to do. Maybe it's another scene. Then the very next scene, you want to come in? And I'm like, wait, what happened? Like, it was less than 10 minutes. I was like, we didn't see a montage. Nothing happened. I think the only difference was, no. Yeah, the only difference was Jesse was able to land the plane. And then after that, what's the next scene? No, that was before. I don't know how they became friends. Like, the thing is, I genuinely do not know how they became friends. And it sucks because I do think this was real.
We could have had. I don't know why their friendship was, it didn't. I didn't see how their friendship was that much closer to him and anybody else outside of the fact that they had to fly together and that I guess they were sleeping in the same bunks together at a certain point. And then by the time we get to the actual mission where they're in, oh, well, I guess before that happens, somebody else, because the wife was like, he's only invited one other person to the house, you and this other guy. And I think that's the guy who winds up dying, right?
It was his other wingman, I think he said, right? I thought that was the other wingman he had. I could be wrong. I could be wrong, but I think that's the other wingman.
Okay. I thought it was, because there was another pilot who winds up crashing, just trying to land the plane on the battleship. And he like was like too low. And then he like, tried to pull up at the end, but he pulled up too quickly. Yeah. And so then he wound up crashing.
Oh man, I felt so bad. He's like, circle back. But I didn't know that guy. Did he talk much? I was like, I don't remember talking to that guy at all.
He was like,
I was trying to teach him how to like not follow the rules. Like, I don't remember y'all talking.
Not always follow the rules. Well, I don't think we saw him say that. I think he's telling us like, that's why he got upset, because he was like, if we just follow the rules, you'll stay alive. And he's like, that's not true. And then that's when he tells him like about all the stuff that happened to him when he was trying to become a pilot. That was a cool scene. I guess I was just like, you know what? It really is as simple as like, I feel like I just missed the scene where they're both having so much fun together and just, you know, really seeing that friendship like blossom, so that we understood the, because by the time I think some of those other scenes happened, there was a level of like familiarity that Glenn's character had, which I think was appropriate, but it's just that we didn't see why he had that sort of familiarity. And therefore, when he got checked, it just felt like, yeah, he's been checking you this whole time kind of thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. It definitely felt that way. Also for me too, with like when the report is insubordination, I was like, well, yeah, you just flew you. It felt like it should have been insubordination instead of, I guess, like he had his back, which I imagine in a different rendering of that, it might feel like
they were best friends. You know what I mean? Like if one of us did that to each other, you'd be like, what the hell? You know, why would you do that? But it didn't feel that way because it didn't feel like they were best friends. It felt like he was still at an arm's distance from him. And so it was like, he was like, look, I'm friendly to you, but like you disobeyed a direct order. You know,
I literally, when it happened, I was like, well, I hope he gets reprimanded for this. that was my thought while it was happening. I was like, well, I certainly hope he gets reprimanded. And then I was thankful that it was in the report. And then they made a bit, and then the scene was like, why was that in the report? And I was like, well, I can't get on board with this.
Yo, what a snitch. No, James would have sold us out, bro.
I hope he gets reprimanded.
He would have sold us out.
This might be the me not liking war and war movies in me, but it was like when it was like, these guns are too much, let's get out of here. I was like, wow, they're just gonna leave? Whew, thank goodness. And then he was like, I'm going back in. I was like, how dare you? You're going back in? anyway, can't believe it. Couldn't believe it.
Man,
it's wild.
I don't know what to say about this movie. It's like, I just feel like we missed a movie.
At the end of the day, we only get like two fight sequences. This one, and then the one at the end.
But you know what's so interesting though, Bray, which is fascinating, is that, yes, I'm about to compare this to another movie, but if you watch Top Gun, it's only one true scene. You know what I mean? In Top Gun, it's like, but it still manages to be like freaking intense. And I'm like, I'm watching this movie, and to me, it was one of those things where like, what was the most important thing? Was it the friendship? Was it focusing on Jesse? Because the movie felt like it didn't even want to focus that much on Jesse and like really understanding his mindset or who he was. Or was it about like the war? Like, it just felt like there were so many things it could have been about, but it didn't pick. So we kind of loosely touched on everything. But I feel like, you know, but I feel like, again, like thinking about a good biopic is like, I feel like we have to learn something new about our subject. And again, I hadn't heard of Jesse, but even watching this movie, I felt like I didn't learn too much more about his inner workings. I felt like reading this article, I feel like I learned more about him, about the fact that he was funny. The fact that, you know, I feel like those are things that I didn't get to see, which sucks. But I think that humanizes him. But most importantly, I think it humanizes like Black men, because I feel like we're always like, hey, I don't need none of y'all. I just feel like we're always tough. And like to hear that this guy was vulnerable and like had a sense of humor, but also was dealing with the fact that Black people didn't accept him, dealing with the fact that like he was a guy here who started to get kind of accepted, but it was a long road to get accepted. And the fact that the way he passed away is very true to the movie, but it's like that man like froze to death. You know what I'm saying? Like, and not saying we needed to see it, but this man who became a legend, we just moved away from at one point. Like, we just We didn't cut back to him at any point. We didn't have like not if you didn't want to show him, but we didn't cut back to like the ship. I mean, his plane, like it just felt like we were watching someone look at a subject that we weren't allowed to get close to. That's what it felt like to me, yeah. The whole movie.
And I'll use The Perfect Storm as an example of like, I also think it's like sort of the wrong way to go with this, but like The Perfect Storm ends with, like at the end of The Perfect Storm, Mark Wahlberg's character and spoiler for anyone who hasn't seen it, and George Clooney's character, both, they have, you know, we see their final moments, and then we like see, it ends with like Mark Wahlberg like swimming, like, and he like has like an inner monologue discussion with his, you know, saying goodbye to his wife. And then he also dies. And so, and you have this realization that like the whole last, like from the time Radio Contact is out to like, to when we see them both die, that like all of that is just the imagination of the writers and what have you. And so at least for me, leaves me with a weird taste in my mouth of like, well, what really was that? What was I watching? Like, why did I see any of that? And then in this case, you know, the story that we do know is the experience of the two pilots that circled him, you know, and from when Glenn Powell's character lands and runs to him, that's the story that we know. But in watching the movie, you're like, well, I want to see him in the like. You're like, I want to see him in the cockpit. I want to see what's going on. It's you know, and so in both instances, I'm you know, Perfect Storm, where they're just like, let's show everything that no one knows what happened, and then in this, where they didn't show any of that, they just showed what we know. In both, you're left feeling a little unsatisfied.
Well, you were left feeling unsatisfied, but I feel like Perfect Storm is a popular film that did very well.
No, Perfect Storm did a great job. Perfect Storm, yeah, but I just mean no one else thinks that monologue from Mark Wahlberg floating in the ocean is weird.
I didn't see the movie, but I will say this. I do feel like when you're doing these based on a true story movies, you're going to embellish the story. And if you're not, then don't do it. Just do a documentary. Like, otherwise, there's no point. there's no point of faking a film, you know, if all you want to do is stick exactly to the facts of everything that we know how it happened objectively. Because if that's all you want to do, do a documentary, you know? Like,
but if you don't have films of the, but if you don't have films of the planes, you know, if you don't have filming, if you don't have that
animation, recorded, I don't know. I just feel like it was just tricky because, yeah, man, it was, I don't know what to say. It was like, yeah, it was almost, this was almost too true. You know, it was almost like too honest. And I was like, yo, I need you to lie to me a little bit. Like, was there like one time they just got into like a crazy bar fight and beat the shit out of people and like high-fived afterwards? Like, I don't know.
Well, there was a bar fight.
Brave, but that was at the end, man. And then at the end, when that bar fight happened.
That's the funny thing.
It was, yeah, like, it was at the end of the movie. Then it was like, and then that bar fight made me mad because I was like, man, they're going to set it up where he going to be the one that comes save one of these white boys. And sure enough, when they look up, the hero they see is the one black pilot. And I'm like, man.
Yeah.
I was like, all right.
I don't know if I needed that.
I don't know if I did
like,
it either.
I did like the conceit, the Navy pilots being there, and that emboldening, I guess, Army, right? It was on the ground, you know, to like to move. I thought that was really cool. I don't know if I needed the moment of acknowledging that the black pilot is in the air, but I did like that instance. I thought that was moving.
Yeah, I don't know if it felt a little forced for them to be like, we got a black pilot. I'm like, you were paying attention so closely to that pilot when you're in the middle of a battle.
Gun,
like,
hey, man,
bullets are flying.
Bullets are flying, but he was like, that looked like a Negro up in that plane. Yeah,
it felt like a line for the trailer. Like, it didn't feel like it fit in the actual movie. You know what I mean?
That scene, Bray, reminded me of Sam Jackson from Django Unchained, when Django comes riding up on the horse, and Sam is like, who is this nigga on that? Because the thing is, when they sold him in the, first off, that cockpit is so small, bro. The cop is so small. He looks over and looks at him, and all of a sudden the white man's eyes get so big, and he's like, another white man has to be like, step out of it. We gotta go forward. And I'm like, bro, what in the hell was this moment? What was that? That moment was Green Bookie. That was a Green Bookie moment.
But I do, I'll say that I do feel like a lot of that, like, there's moments like that. I think there are a couple more, but like where it is like, it feels a little hokey to an extent, but it is a moment of like honoring, like, trying to honor Jesse in that way of like, that, like, they see it, they're bewildered, and they're also empowered, you know? Like, that's what happens in that moment. And it feels like the movie trying to honor that or pay respect in that specific way.
Do you think they were inspired by the black pilot? Like, actually, people on the ground?
I think that's what we're supposed to, you know, get from that, you know, that, like, that they see that he's there and they're fighting alongside him. I think... Why else is it? Listen, we're in the last 25 minutes of the movie.
The other reason it would be in it is for exactly what Gerard said, which is a little Green Bookie, like a little like, well, not even. I mean, I don't know if it's green. It's just like a, like, hey, there was this racist person, and that racist person realized that this black person they were making fun of just like helped save their lives, you know. And so now they're looking at black people differently.
But why does the guy say the line? Because the guy saw it. Like, we could have just seen the guy see it.
Yeah, why did he say the line, we got a black pilot?
I think the guy said the line for the other.
That's what I said. I think they said it for the trailer. There's not a lot of action in the film. There's a whole bit with Elizabeth Taylor. That was a fun thing where he like speaks French.
That actress looked familiar to me. Who is she?
Serinda Swan.
Oh, I was mad that they, at least my version of it, didn't have French subtitles. So then I couldn't believe that there wasn't a like moment of like, yeah, what'd you say to him? For those of us, for us non-French speaking people.
Yeah, I do wish that they put some subtitles. Why is it called Devotion?
That is a great question.
Because they were devoted to the job.
It was like, was it devotion to each other, or was it devotion to the, yeah, to the military, or was it devotion to his wife?
I think it might actually be all of those things you just said.
So, I mean, it is based off a book apparently called Devotion, an epic story of heroism, friendship, and sacrifice.
But yeah, but still, what is the devotion part, though?
What's the sacrifice part?
His life, Bray. He sacrificed his life. Oh,
I guess, right. He sacrificed his life. I mean, he wasn't trying to sacrifice his life, but I guess he did.
I mean, but you do make that sacrifice if you die at war.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what he did. You know what I mean? That's what he did. And he died. I mean, I'm kind of happy we didn't watch it, but I'm also like, fuck, did we need to see? I don't know. I'm very torn by
it. Because this is yet another one of those examples of like, me being like, I probably would have never seen this movie because it's a war film and those aren't my jam, but I found a lot of it moving and I thought it looked really good and stuff like that. And so I am glad that I watched it. I'm also glad that it was made, like, I'm glad a movie was made about this guy, the first naval air pilot office. What was his title? First Naval Aviator.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, yeah,
that's cool.
I'm torn when it comes to these movies. I just don't know what, like, because again, like Bray's right. I think we needed to see some of the, I hate to say it, but like some of the things he went through, and I know we needed to see it, but I'm like, I'm tired of seeing it. But also, I'm like, you need this story kind of out there so we can learn about him, because I didn't even know about him, and I'm just like, oh, it's exhausting.
I don't know what the book was about. This is an unfair statement. I wish I just got an actual biopic of this guy. I feel like then it just has more of a through line, because now I'm just seeing like, how did this guy become the first? Instead, I don't really know what the story was about. You know what I mean? Because it wasn't a biopic and it wasn't about the Korean War. We like barely learn anything about the Korean. Like the movie starts with a crawl, you know, like tight. Like it starts with like text that says,
like the Korean War, the forgotten war. Like it talks about the Korean War as a forgotten war, but then like we never learn about the war really in the movie. It doesn't fully feel about, I think the friendship is probably the main thing of the movie, and yet it wasn't always there, you know? So it was a bit strange. I felt like, you know, when you eat like some pop, you eat a bunch of popcorn, like you're hungry and then you eat a bunch of popcorn, and then like,
oh no,
movie theater popcorn.
You're kind of like
movie theater popcorn.
Movie theater popcorn.
Oh, okay, I love that.
But like not that much butter on it. You know what I mean?
I don't like these popcorn analogies.
No, keep going, bro.
And you like eat it and you're like, okay, like I ate, like I was hungry and I ate this and it like satisfied me a little, but I'm actually like still hungry, but I'm also full of popcorn. I don't really want to eat. I don't really know. I don't know where I went wrong, but it doesn't feel right.
Mm. Yeah, listen. Oh, I like that. Yeah, I know what you're talking about, brother. I know what you're talking about.
It's like, maybe I should have just, you know, I should have just doubled down and just got all the butter slathered it. You know, I already got the popcorn. Like, why didn't I just put the butter on?
You know, that's true. I'm not a butter person.
Yeah.
I don't do the butter.
Oh, you're not a butter.
Mm-mm, I don't
I'm
do
not going to participate in this.
James, I do a little salt, but also I used to work in a movie theater, so I don't like the salt they give the customers. I want the movie theater salt that you see when they put it on the kernels, because that's the shit that give you the shakes, that fucking sodium shake. I need that, bro.
What you need to do is take a bunch of Crunch or a peanut M&M's. You know, and you cascade that through the bag. Then you also toss some Sour Patch Kids in there. So you get the sweet, you get the sour, you get the chocolatey, and you get the salt. It's a good mixture. That's what you gotta do. That actually explains movies that I like
James was like, I want to stay away from this analogy. And he described, like, I like my popcorn with a little bit of everything. And we're like, yeah, that makes
sense. Interesting. So like I said, I'm not participating in comparison.
But you have. You're in it now. You literally are a part of it.
I think that this movie actually is the kind of the like standard kind of popcorn. You know, it's like very traditional. You know, it's also like packed. They did the thing where they put the popcorn in, you know, and you didn't add. I don't think you added the butter. You didn't add the butter, but they put the popcorn in, and then they took the thing and they pushed it down so it's stuffed. And then they were like, you know what? And here's a little bit more on top. And they just gave you just like a little bit on top. And some stuff was falling off.
Oh my God.
Some stuff was falling off, but you still got like a packed bag of popcorn. You know what I'm saying?
You know, I think standard
popcorn.
I think we've done it. I think we've done it. You know, I think we talked about the movie and popcorn. I think.
Did you like the speech that the wife gave to him at the end?
I thought that moment was very interesting. I thought it was a very interesting moment because, I mean, I imagine that it is heavily inspired by what happened. Like, she was so not trying to hear him, you know. She, like, didn't, she, you know, wasn't trying to deal with his mess.
I would be genuinely shocked if this is what she actually said to him. It felt very much like a screenwriter saying it. Because she basically, he's like, I'm sorry I couldn't save him. And she was like, I never asked you to save him. I asked you to be with him. And you were there.
Tenix, she said protect him. That's what she said. If we want to roll the tape back, she said, I need you to...
She said, to be with him and protect him?
No. Wait, earlier in the movie...
You mean what she said in the beginning?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And I remember she was like, when he leaves, I can't protect him. You know what I'm saying? And I'm like...
Yeah, I need you to protect him.
Save and protect, though, are different.
Be with is different.
but... Okay. But it felt like he was a little closer to what she meant than what she was trying to say that she said at the end. I was like, you ain't just say be with him.
But in the end, she was being nice. She was being nice to him. She was trying to make him feel better.
I know. She was so composed. I was like, I get it. And that was, it was time and pass. But apparently they're the family is still friends, which is cool.
Yeah, because they were, and what sucks, Bray, as I said it again, is like this movie is what Green Book lied to become. It's like these people were friends. They were black and white. They were during a time. Like, for instance, if he would have lived, he would have been, the white man would have been at his house for Thanksgiving or Christmas. What was it, Christmas? He would have been there for Christmas, okay? He would have been there. Green Book, they ain't do no Christmases together. That shit was fake. It was a lie. It was a goddamn. I'm sorry. That movie's so bad. Not bad. Not worse than Crash, but anyway. Let me stop
crying. Whoa.
I don't like Crash. Whoa,
why are you coming for Crash?
I watched Crash recently and I was like, I don't like how black people came. I don't like this. I knew I didn't like it when I was younger, but as an adult, I'm like, now I know. Because me and a bunch of my black friends saw it and we were young and everybody came out of that movie feeling weird. And I'm like, let me watch it again.
Because of Terrence?
It's not really because it's like the way they handle Terrence, the way they handle like Ludacris. Like, it's just like, it's... Anyway, I'm not going... I'm not. Let me stop crapping on movies. I'm trying to work for these people. Except for Green Book is a terrible movie. So I'm okay with that. If I met them, I'd be like, y'all should stop doing. Y'all need to say sorry. I think that's okay to say to them. You should say sorry to everybody. Melt the Oscar down to make it into a gold chain and like.
I have never had fried chicken.
He had his pinkies in the air. His pinkies were in the air.
Fry. Like, it's my favorite impression that I can never do, you know?
Oh, poor Mahershala. When Mahershala showed up, you could tell he showed up with a beanie. That's how you know he didn't want to be there. He was like, yeah, I'm sorry, y'all. Like, I saw it in his face. Anyway, so we talked about this movie. What's next, Bray?
Oh, time for the cause. I don't know. You guys have nothing else to say.
I got nothing. Steel could have done nothing. Ain't that right, James? Steel would have been like, y'all trying to go play back?
I don't do the Shaq bit anymore, Dra. Oh. I haven't done it in a year.
Oh, wow. That's crazy.
Is that how long I haven't done it?
No,
I don't
probably.
Actually know if that's true.
I'm saying if Shaq would have shown up, he would have been like, hey, we should all be friends and play a pickup game. But he wasn't in this movie, so we couldn't see that friendship scene. So that's all I'm saying.
If I were to talk to Hollywood right now,
James, why are you?
I might say something like, James, I might say something like,
not
really,
here.
It's time to just get the priorities straight. You know, if you are trying to figure out what types of stories you want to tell, just make sure you are doing your best to fully honor the people that you're telling the stories about.
Hey, you're doing this too well. I don't like it. You're doing it too well. I don't like it. John, just go ahead and do the calls, please. No,
what
James.
What becomes more problematic is omitting details from stories.
We're Black Man Can't Jump. We review movies.
Wait, what?
On the concept, is it on the basis of race?
But it's just going to the beginning?
How does it work? How do you set it up?
Game reset?
What do you say?
All right, hold on. No, it's time for the cause. We rate films not based on how much we like it, but whether or not it helped the cause of more leading Black actors in Hollywood. If we feel like a film fully helped the cause, we give it a black fist. If it somewhat helped the cause, we give it a white palm. If we feel like it didn't help the cause at all, we don't give it anything. So on the count of three, we'll raise our ratings for the film Devotion.
Damn. Ooh.
Okay.
Not based on if we like it.
One. Two. Three. Okay. I can't see James's video anymore. What is
it? Oh, I'm giving a fist. But I almost gave it a palm like you did, Bray.
Okay, well, two black fists and one white palm for me.
Would you give it a white palm for Bray?
Well, I gave it a white palm. I gave it a white palm because, one, I think this movie ultimately financially seems like it failed. I think that Jonathan Majors has kind of already cemented himself in the leading actor category. I know he hasn't done too many films as the lead yet, but he did a bigger one with The Harder They Fall that I think did more for him than this film did. There weren't a lot of other black actors in this movie. There were, whereas the wife, of course, played by Christina Jackson, but I don't know, her role was not big enough for me to think that there's going to be a lot that comes out of it. And the other roles were very small. So, you know, I gave it a palm, but it's cool you guys gave it a fist. I get that.
Yeah, I almost gave it a palm for the financial aspect of it. to Bray. But then at the end of the day, I was thinking, like, you know, Majors has not done a lot of leading roles, and so early enough in his career, seeing him, you know, in a role like this is important. Like, we need to see him in a variety of different roles so that people can go, that's the household name, Jonathan Majors, you know. And so that's why I chose to give it a fist. But the fact that it's not making the money is tough, you know, for what we do with the cause.
Yeah, I mean, I gave it a fist for the same reason James did. It's like, I feel like Jonathan, his first starring role, like as the lead, was with Harder They Fall, but that was more like an ensemble, to be honest. So this was nice to see him as a lead, even though it was a co-lead, I want to say, with Glenn Powell. But anyway.
He's also the last black man in San Francisco.
Well, yeah, but he was like...
Is he the last black man or is he the second?
The other dude was the last
man. The other dude was the last black man.
The other was the last.
He's the other black man. He leaves, and then the last black man is the other dude.
And technically, it was a couple other black men in San Francisco. Remember, they kept seeing a bunch of them, and like, so technically, it was a lot of black men in San Francisco. So interesting. But anyway, yeah, I gave it to that. Also, I just genuinely like Jonathan Majors. I've probably bored James with this before, but like, I always watch his like TikToks talking about like acting and stuff, and it sounds so like wonderfully artistic. So I just like that dude. So. Gave it a fist. Is there anything happy coming out? Like, is there like, what black movies coming out soon? Anything?
Can we do Ant-Man and the Wasp Quantumania because he's in this?
He may not be. If he's big, I don't know if he's big. Oh, there's a movie that comes out Friday that you guys can review, but I can't review because I'm scared. House Party comes out this week, but I'm scared because I got friends in the movie. It's coming out in theaters, too.
I will openly say I was looking forward to House Party, and then I saw the trailer, and now I have questions. and I can say that the reason I have questions is because there's something about that first House Party that feels very... Now, I could just be old, which I think is also fine to say, too. But like, but that just feels very like... This is the experience right now. This is us right now. And this feels like reaching, if that makes sense. Like they're like, they're, yeah. Yeah. Does that make sense?
No, it does.
It does. No, it makes you know a what? Lot of sense.
Yeah.
I think that's true.
Yeah.
I think the original House Party is about like a crazy wild house party that could happen. And this is like about like, that doesn't happen to anybody who's not a TikTok star.
I'm not going to say anything. I feel fine saying that just because it's not really.
It feels more like remember that movie with the.
Yeah, I need to do what this to be.
Just like it was like a huge part, like Project X. Yeah.
Yeah, but that was like, but Project X was a house though. This is like LeBron. This is my thing. The reason I ain't gonna review it. We reviewed a movie with some of our friends in it, and I ran into them over the holiday break, and it was a really weird, tense time, and I couldn't tell if they knew how I talked about the movie or not, and so. No,
they didn't.
No, bro, it was weird, man. It was weird. I promise you.
It was weird because was so you know weird. That you were openly talking about them on the podcast and you didn't know what to say to them.
You
that
just
was
know,
the weirdness.
No, because you know when you see somebody, the amount of energy you normally get. I was like, this energy was different, man. I was like, I don't know. You might know. Or I might got paranoid. But listen, y'all should review it. I'm not going to review it.
I'll review it. I don't mind talking about House Party.
You know what? I want to see it. I want to see it. And then depending on how I feel is when I would talk. Oh, wait, we got to promote our show. Our show at UCB LA is Sunday, February the 5th at 7 p.m.
My sister's birthday.
Oh, snap.
All right. Thank you so much for listening. You can follow us at Black Men Podcast on Twitter and Instagram. BlackMenPodcast.com. is our website. There you can find links to merchandise. You can find links to a Patreon that we don't do new episodes on anymore, but hey, we're considering doing a thing that I won't say yet. Subscribe $5 a month, listen to the year's worth of episodes, unsubscribe whenever you like. You can also find link to the ticket sales for our show. If you rate and review us on iTunes and give us 5 stars, we'll read your review on the air. We don't have a new one for 2023. Guys,
come on, wow. 2023.
You can follow me at John Braylock. Twitter and Instagram. I guess Grown is just coming back. I wrote on the second half of season 5. So watch Grown-ish.
Grown-ish.
You can follow me at James Third Comedy on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. Third is 3RD. I have a Kickstarter going on right now. It's happening through February 5th for my comic book called Junior. It was fully funded in 2 weeks, baby. So it is funded, but you can still get your copy by donating, whenever you can, or just if you don't want to get a comment because you're like, I'm not trying to read something, you can just give me some money to make stuff. I'd appreciate that. And you can listen to my show Corrupted Files on the AMP app. It is every Friday at 6:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. This week coming up, I believe I will have Vanessa Lee Chester on the show. She was in The Lost World, Jurassic Park, and also
The Black Girl. The
Black Girl from Jurassic Park.
Remember when she did that gymnastic kick and like kicked that velociraptor?
I certainly do. I wrote a short film about it.
Oh man. James is like, I'm about to write a short for all the IP that I love, and I respect it. I respect it.
It'll never get made. Anyway, that's it.
To piggyback off of that, hey, if you will be in Park City, our short film screens at Treasure Inn on January 20th at 1:15 and January 23rd. And we just found out if you're in LA, I have dates soon, but our short also will be in the Pan African Film Festival, which will be February 9th through the 20th. So look out for those dates too. If you're in LA or if you're in Park City, come hang out.
All right. We'll see you next week. Peace.
Forever Dog.
This has been a Forever Dog production, produced by Melissa D. Montz. Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. To listen to this podcast ad-free, sign up for Forever Dog Plus at foreverdogpodcast.com/plus. Check out video clips of our podcast on YouTube at youtube.com/foreverdogteam. And make sure to follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Forever Dog Team to keep up with all the latest Forever Dog news.
What's up, Black Men Can't Jump comic book fans? James III here to talk to you about my comic series, Junior, available now on Kickstarter. The Ghost with the Most Past Due Child Support is back in 4 brand new issues of this semi-autobiographical supernatural comic series. It's got all sorts of spooky hijinks for fans of Beetlejuice, The Good Place, and The Mummy, stuff like that, and features award-winning artists from Marvel, DC, Dark Horse, and more. It's available on Kickstarter through June 9th. Go to ruleof3inc.com or follow me at ruleof3inc on IG for more details. Donate today!